Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we have a fantastic show for you.
On NightTalkRadio.com. Looking to email the show? TerraChat2012@gmail.com. Or come to our blog, NightTalkRadio.com. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network with host Colin Knight.
And good evening, everybody. We appreciate you joining us tonight. Special shout-outs at the top of the show to the Scottish Lass, who continues to attempt to find time, and the BC Dreamcatcher, super hot weather, thunderstorms and floods in British Columbia, Canada. I tell you, kiddo, you need to come to Alberta. After all, it is God's country. 68 degrees Fahrenheit in the big city of Calgary, Alberta, Canada tonight. A little bit cooler than what we've anticipated over the last little while. I tell you, she's been a cooker. 20 degrees Celsius for all of our metric friends out there. So we're having a fairly comfortable evening. 68 degrees, it's not bad, not bad at all. Tomorrow, of course, the last day of the Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth, and it will be a rainy day, unfortunately. They're forecasting 66 degrees with rain for most of the day. The chuck wagons are going to be wet, but you know what happens in Calgary during the Stampede? Stays in Calgary during the Stampede. And, of course, let's not forget the Southeast Brickies, much better half, Beth. Glad you could tune in tonight. And tonight, we should be looking at the current solar flares which are hitting the Earth, and, of course, the prophecies of 2012 and all of its possible manifestations, including Nibiru, Planet X, and, of course, those nasty, nasty CMEs.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? God put it there.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code-named Mavis, with John Hogue in the night.
According to Genesis, Eden, or Eden, is where Adam was created from dust, and Eve from one of his ribs. Others, however, have a more high-tech version of how human life began.
It is a real problem, and there's quite a few of us, and some of us are privileged to have been briefed on some of it. It's been well covered up by all of our governments for the last 6 years or so, but slowly it's leaked out.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287, and we remind our listeners of the archived shows, 3 years of fabulous interviews of some amazing guests. Come to the blog, nighttalkradio.com. 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Things that go bump in the night. To contact the show by email, terrachat2012@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Ah, yes. And as we go to air tonight, Earth is being bombarded by a solar storm, a wave of plasma stoked by an X-class solar flare, the most intense type, I may add, has begun to hit the Earth. The blast of charged particles known as a coronal mass ejection, a CME, is forecasted to ignite a geomagnetic storm on Earth over this weekend. Now, NOAA predicts it will be minor, maybe moderate. NASA, on the other hand, says it will be moderate to severe. Now, if NOAA is right and the ensuing geomagnetic storm is minor, then no big deal. On the other hand, if NASA is right and the geomagnetic storm is strong and severe, then Earth's orbiting satellites could get disoriented, and the electrical grid, according to NOAA, could experience widespread voltage control problems, among other issues. Auroras will be able to be seen as far south as Alabama and Northern California this weekend. NOAA and NASA's predictions about the CME also differ on timing. Last night, NOAA was forecasting a 1 a.m. Saturday morning arrival of the CME, while NASA projected a 6:20 a.m. arrival. NOAA has since revised its estimate to 9 a.m., and I can assure you it is happening. The sun is clearly in an active state, and CMEs will be common over the next few months. But is this the indicator for the 2012 prophecy? One of our frequent guests is a Dr. Ian O'Neill, a solar physicist and space editor for DiscoveryNews.com. Recently, we chatted with the good doctor regarding the CMEs, so why don't we listen in, see what he had to say. Tonight, our good friend is back with us, Dr. Ian O'Neill, solar physicist. Good evening, Ian. Going there. Ian, how are you doing tonight?
Hi there, Colin. Everything's fine here. Thanks for inviting me back.
Oh, no. Thank you for coming back. I hope Deborah is well and all's well in your world.
I'm keeping fairly busy over at Discovery News with my space producing. So most of my action at the moment is going on over on DiscoveryNews.com. But Astro Engine's still going well, still going strong. I just need to update it a little bit more.
Ian, over the last 6 months, we've been inundated with the theory and fiction fact, as I call it, about what is happening recently with the sun and the solar flares. Can you enlighten us if this is an anomaly, or has this been predicted for some time?
Yeah, this is all fairly normal, and it's kind of a welcome relief, because up and not from about 2006 all the way through to 2009, the sun was very, very quiet. Although that was kind of expected, that was a very, very long quiet period. That was the solar minimum, and it was a very deep minimum. It was a period of time where the sun was, for some reason, it just went to sleep. Magnetically, it was very, very quiet. Right. Now it's kind of picking up in activity, and this is to be expected as well, although some of the things we're seeing is unexpected, but that's probably due to our advanced observatories we've now got orbiting the Earth to view the sun. But this is to be expected, because the sun is gradually winding up now towards solar maximum, and is expected to reach solar maximum in around about 2013. Towards the end of 2012, 2013, we will start seeing a lot more solar flares, and then it will go into another quiet period. It's all just part of the natural 11-year cycle of the sun.
So as Dr. Ian O'Neill mentions, it's all part of the 11-year cycle of the sun. So as we wait for the CME to pass, we wait to see how serious it is. And from all accounts, this could become a massive issue as the sun awakens from its dormant phase in late 2012 to 2013. Now, that's right in the window of the prophecy date of December the 21st, 2012.
This is Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network with host Colin Matt. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network. KVN Talk.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Have a question? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. KVN Talk. Voice your opinion. Participate in your future.
Be your peace.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
This is Night Talk Radio on the TerryCamp Radio Network. NightTalkRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, call night.
And we remind all of our listeners that have moved their way down into the virtual studio, which you can get to in the chat, into the chat room through blogtalkradio.com. Come to the TerraChatNet website on Blog Talk Radio and find tonight's edition. And below the edition, you will see the virtual studio access. We invite you to come down there. Now, remember to register as a listener so that all the bells and whistles on the chat room will work for you, and you'll be able to interact with not only myself, but with others that are also in the virtual studio room. And for all of those that are out there just sitting back, kicking back, and listening on the internet, we appreciate you being there. And if you get the urge to merge and you get the urge to chat, 347-324-3287. So December the 21st, 2012, what do you think it'll be really like? Now, if you believe in the conspiracy theorists, the government already know and have selected a small percentage of citizens to survive. In talking with Ian about CMEs and timings, I think the good doctor is actually spot on. What do I mean by that? Well, let's listen.
In the not-too-distant future. As I say, in the run-up to solar maximum, which happens when the sun is at its most stress, after over a course of 11 years, the sun gradually winds up and up and up in magnetic length, like. It's almost like a coil that's gradually being wound up tighter and tighter and tighter over a course of 11 years. And what happens when you wind up an elastic band so tight, it eventually buckles and snaps. And what happens with the sun, when it buckles and snaps, it produces a lot of fantastic coronal loops. It produces a lot of magnetic activity across the surface of the sun. And when you get a lot of magnetic activity, you get a lot of forcing. So when you have all these magnetic field lines crossing, they end up snapping. And when this happens, it can be the correct environment to create a flare, coronal mass ejections. Now, you've probably seen flares, these amazing explosive events on the surface of the sun. And you'll see like photographs from NASA, from the Solar Dynamics Observatory and the Solar Heliospheric Observatory that's in space, looking at the sun constantly. They'll take pictures of these flares, and these flares are so bright they actually overwhelm the cameras on board, and you'll see a lot of bleed across the CCD pixels. So they look very impressive. So they go off the scale, especially X-class solar flares. So the amount of energy that's released in that moment is incredible. So you see them as X-rays and other really hard radiation. That in itself is kind of dangerous to if you're in space, if you're outside of our protective atmosphere. But also, as a consequence of all this magnetic forcing, you can also get coronal mass ejections, which are very similar to solar flares. They're different creatures in a lot of ways, but they can be related. One can cause the other. And basically, that's when a similar thing happens. Basically, there is a big a magnetic bubble of hot plasma that can erupt, and it can get ejected into space at speed, and it can hit us within a day or two. So it can race through space very, very quickly. And of course, in this case, coronal mass ejections are generally more feared than solar flares, because coronal mass ejections actually hit us with high energy particles. And of course, when that happens, we get wonderful aurora, we get wonderful northern lights. You'll see them bouncing across the skies in high latitudes, which is one of the great side effects of solar storm and geomagnetic storms, when the magnetic field of the sun actually interacts with the Earth's magnetic field. But also, as you mentioned, that can have some very bad effects for technology, in that these high energy particles can hit our satellite. They can hit the electronic on our satellite and cause all sorts of trouble on board. So they can knock out the computers, they can overload circuits. So we could have some satellites that just stop working. We could see them re-enter the atmosphere. We could have irretrievable data loss through, like, say if our GPS system got hit, maybe you know where they're going. Of course, you know, that's probably an overused example, especially in space circles, that, you know, what we do about GPS. But actually, it would be an issue, especially for airline pilots, for one. That's a particularly dangerous threat if we start losing satellites. Now, another big area of concern is if the coronal mass ejection is big enough, it can flood our atmosphere, our upper atmosphere, with high energy particles, and when that happens, it generates a current through the atmosphere, and that in turn can induce a current through our national power grids. Now, this happened back in 1995 in Quebec in Canada. They actually overloaded an entire national power grid, and that was during winter. So people were suddenly without power during, and you know how bad winters can get in Canada. That is a direct consequence of a solar storm hitting our everyday life in the most basic level. Can you imagine losing power if the national power grid gets burnt out? And unfortunately, they don't have backup systems for power grids, because there's nothing that can really take them out apart from a solar storm. And as we become more and more dependent on electronics, we become more dependent on our power grid, more dependent on the high-tech based technology, it's ultimately a big disaster waiting to happen, in my view. And a lot of scientists share the same. And this isn't like a doomsday scenario that's just been made up. This has actually happened. There's been examples of these things happening. As we become more dependent on high technology, we're setting ourselves up for a windfall if we get hit by something very big from the sun. All indications are the sun's just going to continue as normal, or even going to go through actually a very quiet period in the future. There's other theories that it could actually explode to life in 10 years' time for no reason. I mean, our star is still a big mystery. We have a real hard job predicting what's going to happen next.
And what is going to happen next? We will have the good Dr. Ian O'Neill back with us very soon, and we will get to more of the CMEs and what's happening out there in space.
This is Night Talk Radio, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
A monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? God put it there.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code-named Mabus, with John Holt in the night.
According to Genesis, Eden, or Eden, is where Adam was created from dust, and Eve from one of his ribs. Others, however, have a more high-tech version of how human life began.
It is a real problem, and there's quite a few of us, and some of us are privileged to have been briefed on some of it. It's been well covered up by all of our governments for the last 6 years or so, but slowly it's leaked out.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287, and we remind our listeners of the archived shows, 3 years of fabulous interviews of some amazing guests. Come to the blog, nighttalkradio.com. 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Things that go bump in the night. To contact the show by email, terrachat2012@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And of course, we are on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and God only knows where else. We're all over the darn place. But that's what it's all about. Getting the word out, Night Talk Radio is back on the air. You know, over the last few years, we've had a lot of guests. We've been very, very fortunate. And in some of those guests that we've had, boy, I tell you, some of them are the top notch, the cream of the crop. I'm speaking specifically about a good friend of mine, John Hoag from HoagProphecy.com. Now, John's take on the world and what is happening ties in well with tonight's theme of 2012 and the apocalypse and the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist with us? Is there an Antichrist? Is Antichrist responsible for what is happening in 2012?
Mabus is the name. He is unique in that Nostradamus is the only prophet of eschatology, revelation-type prophets in the Judeo-Christian tradition, who sees not one but three Antichrists. And the first Antichrist was called Paul Nailoran, and that is actually an anagram for Napalangwa. It's important to understand that Nostradamus hid his anagrams in French or Latin or the languages he knew. A lot of people like to say, well, they take something and try to conjugate something that fits their own language, never asking the obvious question. Why didn't he make it more clear? Why does he use the techniques that really stink of charlatanism to be so obscure? We naturally in our minds tend to be repelled by people who don't come up straight or make it too obvious. We're easily seduced by people who sound like they're talking straight to us but are not, like many of our politicians. But when you have somebody who is out and out obviously trying to hide something as he's telling you something, it always naturally in our instinctive reaction makes us think, well, why can't this guy just come up front and tell me? And there are reasons for it, not just the reasons that were to keep him and his family from being burned at the stake for witchcraft and heresy. The other problems that dealt with, he said, the fragile sentiments of people who would read his work, if they could see how vastly different the future would be from what their fragile sentiments expect, they would damn their own future. So he also masked things for that reason. And thirdly, he masked them because he obviously saw what actually happened, and his work was actually used in the future as propaganda. It was used quite extensively in World War II by both sides. That brings up the issue of the second Antichrist, who he called Hister, after the ancient name of the River Danube, and in which this person actually rose and grew up on the banks of the River Danube in Linz, Austria. He's speaking of Hister being Hitler. And people from the mid-1920s up on and through the war wrote books about, well, this Hister could be Adolf Hitler, a captain of Greater Germany, and other prophecies. The Crooked Cross is his son. The treaties that were broken in one of the prophecies were really treaties that Nostradamus used to drop the first two numbers of every year. So you get the year 41, year 45, year 38, 37. You could say, well, that could be any number of the last five centuries. But then again, when you actually go and find out that near about or exactly on the year 41 or the year 45, treaties were destroyed, unions broken. 45 was the union of the Axis powers themselves when they were defeated, Italy, Japan, and Germany, and their allies, Hungary and Romania. The other number 41 is 1941. That was seeing the union broken, trade unions and treaties broken by the Japanese with the Americans and Pearl Harbor. Right. It also was the most famous treaty that actually started World War II, the non-aggression pact between Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler, which without which Adolf Hitler could not start World War II, basically making sure his eastern back was protected while he attacked the Western powers. That was a union that was broken in 41, the most famous union broken, because that was the year when 3.5 million Germans went across 1,000 miles of Soviet frontier into Operation Barbarossa, which was the invasion of Russia, which ended the war for Hitler. It's also noted in the prophecies that Nostradamus talked about Barbarossa as perhaps this invasion. So now we've come with Napoleon to Hitler, and now we come to the time of the third Antichrist. And it's key of knowing when you're living in the times of the Antichrist is to understand, as my book, Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mobius, as you've read it and know that it has, it's really a detective story. I've been delaying writing my final summation on it until I felt the times of the Antichrist were not only at hand, but we're actually living in them. And I started work on that detective story all the way back in 1983. And then started publishing work in 86, and that's about 13 books ago. But I never actually took all the findings and all the false leads, because as the book shows, there's leads that look like they're going somewhere, just like culpable people, circumstantial evidence that points to a certain figure in history back in the 80s, like an Abu Nidal or an Abu Abbas back in the 80s, because one of the codes to decode Mabas is you drop an anagram game, is where you drop the single letter at the beginning and the end of a word. If you drop the M and the S from Mabas, you get Abu, which is the name father, which is used by every Palestinian Liberation Organization terrorist. So suddenly you have thousands of potentials that come out of that. So I when I was looking at the Palestinian possibility, which rather seems ironic now, since we seem to be at the time of this recording poised to see what I call Gaza grad, the Stalingrad inside the Gaza Strip, an urban battle between Israeli forces, which is very much a part of triggering these being the times of the Antichrist, because not only do the leads point to a Palestinian link, mainly because the key to traveling down, being a sleuth sayer or soothsayer when you're working with Nostradamus is dealing with his love of classical metaphors, Mediterranean classical metaphors that include the biblical lands as well as the Hellenistic and the Roman.
Now, this particular segment of the John Hogue Show was done in 2009, beginning of 2010. And you heard about the references to the Palestinian connection. So John Hogue identifies Nostradamus, the three antichrists, Napoleon, Hitler, or Hister, and a possible Palestinian connection. Could that have been bin Laden? Or the third antichrist could still be walking the planet? Is that possible, do you think? Is there a third antichrist out there?
For every person who found a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
Even though we all struggle to make ends meet, some being luckier than others, the pressure which surrounds our daily lives sometimes sends average citizens off the rails. But for the grace of God go I. There's a modern saying that many citizens are two paychecks away from the street. The downturn of the economy certainly has not helped in reducing pressures on the home front. If you're doing okay, remember those who may not be as well off. Be considerate to their needs and their feelings. But for the grace of God go I.
24-hour opinion line, 240-696-6030, or on air live, 347-324-3287.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio with host Colin Knight on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the Terror Chat Network. KPN MTOR.
In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries engulf you, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the great world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hours of the castle walls, in the dead of night, when all is still, who will you know tonight?
Three four seven three two four three two eight seven. 347-324-3287. 1-877-927-5787. This is Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
So I dug in a little deeper with John Hoke, trying to find out exactly who the third Antichrist is.
What goes bump in the night?
We examine the works of Nostradamus through the eyes of John Hoke from HokeProphecy.com. Mavis.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code name Mavis, with John Hoke.
I'm Colin Knight, your guide.
The third Antichrist is someone who's not only focused on the Middle East or from the Middle East, but unlike the other two, he is one of the first casualties of the war and mayhem that he unleashes on the world. And he may be one of the first to fall, and it's his death or events that happen at the milestone of his death that creates a huge, terrible destruction. And the word defae, the way Nostradamus uses it in the 16th century context, means an unraveling, a destruction. It means like a balkanization of the world. And it also implies that it could be caused by climate change and other things. In short, it sounds like he's saying, you know, when this guy dies and the world kind of unravels, civilization has this crisis, danger of unraveling economically, ecologically, etc. The Mavis prophecy, which during the somebody read quite well, is the first of the two. And in both these parallel prophecies in very different volumes of Nostradamus' work, it means a violent, sudden death. It can't be stretched and construed to a lingering death. And then very shortly after that, there's a terrible destruction or unraveling people and animals. And this happens at a time when there's 100 powers seeking vengeance. There's thirst, which is his word off, born of Jewish. Mavis, as the prophecies, the two important prophecies we can go into. There's three, actually. One that uses classical metaphors to make it very clear that the region of the Antichrist is the Middle East. And that is the one that talks about the infernal gods of Hannibal. He'll come from the infernal gods of Hannibal, great terror to all people. That the word Ephraim is one of those linking words, terror, that links, when it comes up, if you gather all the quatrains that use it in a specific way, you have a story right before your eyes. What you have with this guy who's a terror to all mankind has basically the classical metaphor to mask his name. The infernal gods of Hannibal, well, you study the Phoenician Baal gods, B-A-A-L, that dominated the region of North Africa from Carthage all the way into Babylon, Syria, the Palestinian area, Palestine, and down into Arabia. They were worshipped there. The god of Carthage was Baal Hamon. And Baal Hamon, when Carthage fell to the Romans, the Romans did not throw out old gods and replace them with their new. They just simply Romanized the gods that were there. Baal Hamon became Thurbo Majus, M-A-J-U-S, just one letter shy of Mavis. When I saw that, I said, aha, this is a classic link anagram game here. So it says, okay, anything that deals with a reference to terror or coming from the skies, as is in the famous 1999 prophecy, the great king of terror descends from the skies. In the year 1999 in September month. Now, nothing happened in September or even in the seventh month, because Septwa can also mean seventh month. Nothing happened in September or July, which is our new seventh month, since Julius Caesar and Augustus gave us two more months since September was created. Now September is the ninth month. But the fact that he would say 1999 Septwa, September month, is a clue. And certainly in the recent period around 1999, September 2001, something definitely came like a terror out of the skies and crashed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And it was from a Middle Eastern source, from a man whose name, Osama bin Laden, actually is very easy to phonetically decode into Mabus. So he's one of the candidates. Now, 1999 in 1999 could be also a number anagram. And one of the things that the September month leads to is, well, maybe he doesn't mean 1999. He means look at this number in a new way. Reverse the sequences of nines with ones, and 1999 becomes 9111 September month. Suddenly you have the date for the World Trade Center attack.
And that is shocking. That you would be able to place it into that type of a mode, if you will. And John continues to defy logic with his readings through Nostradamus. It is absolutely amazing. And if anybody is looking for a good book to read, Nostradamus and the Third Antichrist, codename Mabus, I got to tell you, it's probably one of the better detective books that I have read in a long, long time. It is that good. It is just that good. Now, over the last few years, of course, with the 2012 and December the 21st and the prophecies, we've had the opportunity to get in touch with friends of ours from back home in the UK, Andy Lloyd out of the UK. Now, Andy has a website called Darkstar, and Andy explained when he was with us a year and a half ago what some have termed to be Nibiru and the planet X. The stories and prophecies somewhere out there in the vast universe is a planet that has affected Earth on a frequent basis. It continues its perpetual orbit around and through our system. Some people are calling it Nibiru, some call it Planet X, but tonight's show we'll call it the Dark Star. What's this all about, Andy?
I guess the idea of a missing planet is about as mythical as dragons and so on. I mean, it's an archetypal idea, really, and certainly in the world of science fiction, but like all really, really good myths, it could well actually have a very strong basis in fact. And if that is the case, I do believe it is, then the presence of the dark star at the edge of the solar system, very, very long way away, I have to say, but would actually solve a lot of problems in ufology and would solve a lot of the sort of reasons why people object to the ideas of, say, UFOs, because it provides an opportunity for life to exist in our solar system, allowing intelligent life to visit us from a relatively sort of nearby platform. That's habitable and yet unseen at this time. So that's one of the bases why I think there's a tremendous appeal to this. The second reason why there's a tremendous appeal to this is because this planet is thought to return and is spoken of in mythology, but also in quite a lot of the sort of scriptural texts and so on that people are obviously very interested in that have been passed down to us from ancient times. So it has a fairly deep-rooted appeal to us in the West, and where the myths of things like the flood and so on sort of grow around the world or extend around the world, right. It sort of pops up in all of those as well. So it's an exciting proposition, and as a sort of trained scientist, I have a sort of a vested interest in trying to prove the existence of this thing. Or to disprove the existence of anything, in order to solve some of the tremendous mysteries that you and I and so many other people are fascinated in.
Now this Planet X, I discussed this matter with a number of experts, and I've also talked with Mr. Shaw with the Torah Code and the incoming Nibiru, the planet. It's, like you say, the tie-ins, I think, give you pause for cause. It makes you want to know definitively if there is a dark star or if there is a planet incoming. Do we have any real scientific evidence showing any gravity variance or anything like that?
It's clearly in events that may occur around about the 2012-2013 time. which ties in with the Mayan calendar and the sort of prophecies that may come out of the end of the Mayan age, around about that time. And my particular interest, of course, is in the science and in looking at evidence within the solar system which points to the existence of this body. So there are areas where our interests coalesce, and there are areas where we differ in our opinions. My opinion is that the object remains a very distant object at this time, and lies between the Kuiper belt, which is a sort of second asteroid belt beyond Neptune, and the sort of inner Oort cloud, which is a cloud of comets much, much further out. And there's a sort of a gap between these two zones, which I believe is the sort of kingdom of this dark star. So it's a binary companion that's located at that distance. And there are a number of anomalies to do with the outer solar system, to do with the bodies in the outer solar system, and some of the forces that go on out there that indicate that things are not the way science currently describes them or would like to see them. And those anomalies point to the existence of something out there that they have yet to find. And in actual fact, at the moment, scientists are engaged in a very active exploration of that area using an infrared device known as WISE, and are hopeful, some of them are hopeful, the ones from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory anyway, are quite hopeful of discovering this object before 2013. Of that to do with the end of the Mayan age, it may not be that this planet sort of comes crashing our way, but the discovery of the existence of that body may actually coincide with the end of an age and in a way create a new era of understanding about our origins and the nature of this solar system.
Yeah, we've talked extensively with John Hogue from Hogue Prophecies regarding the 2012 Mayan end and what's to come after 2012, and his explanation is that it is the end of an age, but it's the beginning of a new age of enlightenment. That it's a matter of knowing, not guessing, not wondering, but actually knowing. And our scientific experiments are going to come to fruition, and we are going to know what our history was, which I find is fascinating. Now, your book on the dark star, It's based on the Planet X, on the scientific evidence. There's also a couple of twists and turns in the book, which I really don't want to explain outright because I want people to pick up the book.
Yeah, I've kind of tried to attack this subject in two different ways. One of them is to produce a book, which is, as you say, The Dark Star, which is a sort of essentially a non-fiction book, in an alternative knowledge book, where I produce an alternative paradigm based upon anomalies and quirkiness that is otherwise ignored by science, and you know, use that to try and explain things, try and explain sort of the ice age eras and changes to our Earth, changes to our planet, and anomalies within the solar system to do with this body out there. So that's part of my work, and The Dark Star was published in 2005, and it's been very popular, and a lot of people consider that to be sort of a standard text now to do with Planet X. And then in the sort of Dan Brown tradition, I thought about that and thought, well, this obviously has an interest to researchers and has an interest to people who are very sort of clued into quite deep thinking, as you introduced the piece. But it's also a very exciting idea from the point of view of the general public, if only they could access it in a very sort of an easier way to understand. So the last two books I've written, which is Ezekiel 1 and Followers of Horus, have been a sort of fictionalized ways of understanding what's going on, and created a sort of Dan Brown-type thriller to do with conspiracies and a little bit of science fiction as well, and these quirky Anunnaki people described by Zechariah Sitchin. And I've thrown those into sort of a melting pot of ideas in order to make the dark star an understandable phenomenon. And it's been relatively successful because, you know, people who would otherwise not necessarily want to sit down and read a quite a heavy alternative knowledge science book can read a something good thriller and enjoy it and still at the end of that and have come away with a bunch of new ideas that sort of, you know, ruminate.
Yeah, it's important that, you know, a spoonful of sugar does help the medicine go down.
Yes.
And a lot of the information that comes out of scientific facts, if it was truly brought out in its cold terms, would probably scare the bejesus out of us, you know?
Yes. Yes, so, I absolutely agree.
So I like the way you've done it, because you are still giving them the information or enough information for them to actually use their intelligence.
I think at a format it works. It has its risks insofar as you run the risk of losing a certain amount of credibility because you start writing fiction. So people think, oh, well, it's just fiction. But really, it's an art form. It's a way of actually sort of taking these ideas and putting them out there. And part of the problem with writing non-fiction about things like the Anunnaki and Nibiru and so on is that you necessarily have to speculate, because those stories are wrapped up already within sort of ancient writings, and Zechariah Sitchin does an amazing job of bringing out the flesh and blood gods and the planet Ex Nibiru and describing them, but they're interpreted from texts written in ways that we don't normally describe. And so what I've done is to try and take those ideas and mixed in my own dark star ideas about the brown dwarf and so on, and put them into the modern world that we can all relate to, and try and understand what it would be like if those guys were still around, you know, if the Anunnaki were still here, if there was an alien presence on our world that was pulling the strings behind the national governments and the sort of New World Order.
Right.
And that is an idea that it lends itself to fantastic fiction, but sometimes if you try and put it through a non-fiction format, like, say, David Icke does, it just sounds too fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's a calculated risk, but I think it works.
Opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network or any TerraChat affiliates or sponsors. This is Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network with host Colin Knight. Comments and statements made by tonight's host or guests remain the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraChat Network. Kavya Mtor. This is Night Talk Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network with host Colin Knight.
And as we move into the final 10 minutes of the show tonight, before we started the show, we, of course, did our due diligence and moved around the internet checking out stories and what have you regarding Nibiru and the Planet X, and YouTube is just alive with all kinds of theories and speculations. But there are a few nuggets. If you type in Nibiru or Planet X, there are a few nuggets from some very respectable people that will kind of show you exactly what these people are thinking when they're talking Nibiru and Planet X. Currently, Planet X, Nibiru, has been seen. It has been identified, although NASA is still denying anything is incoming. And yet, According to a radio show I picked up the other day, and I can't use the gentleman's name because he used some confidential sources, but I will say this, that according to his confidential sources, that most of the enlisted personnel in the United States of America, on the East Coast and the West Coast, and especially down in Florida, have been given emergency measure notifications of what to do in the case of an emergency, specifically tsunamis and earthquakes. Now, apparently this briefing did go out a couple of weeks ago, and all personnel were hopefully responding to it and paying attention to what they are being told. Now, is this truth or is it fiction? Is it another part of the Planet X conspiracy? Well, I guess December the 21st, 2012, according to all indications, is going to be a very dynamic day in itself. And as a dynamic day, it could mean it could fizzle and be nothing, or there could be a great deal of problems. Now, we're going to know about Nibiru, Planet X, probably at the latest September. So if it is incoming, we're going to know by September, give or take. Now that is ominous.
Talk Radio 347-324-3287 347-324-3287.
You're listening to Night Talk Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours. When people find out about that, they're going to say, who put that there? God put it there.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, with John Hogue in the night.
According to Genesis, Eden, or Eden, is where Adam was created from dust and Eve from one of his ribs. Others, however, have a more high-tech version of how human life begins.
It is a real problem, and there's quite a few of us, and some of us are privileged to have been briefed on some of it. It's been well covered up by all of our governments for the last 6 years or so, but slowly it's leaked out.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287, and we remind our listeners of the archived shows, 3 years of fabulous interviews of some amazing guests. Come to the blog, nighttalkradio.com. 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Things that go bump in the night. To contact the show by email, terrorchat2012@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And with 3 minutes or so, 5 minutes or so to go, we do thank you all for coming into the virtual studio. We do appreciate Return Viewer Guide, one of our loyal listeners. Glad to see you back in the fold. And it will take a couple of weeks, maybe even a month, to get everybody back up to speed. We will be back on the air next Saturday evening. And I can tell you, next Saturday night, we got a great guest with us, John Vasquez, the Fort Benning incident. We've got some new updated information. We're going to update that story load and see if it gets us into any more trouble, because it certainly causes a lot of angst. The last time we did the show regarding the Fort Benning incident, it's a fantastic first-person observation of a UFO encounter or an encounter with people in Fort Benning that were doing psychological, motivational psychobabble with the troops, messing with their heads and that kind of thing. So that's coming up next Saturday. And remember, next Thursday night, of course, VOCR. VOCR Radio is on the air next Thursday night at 9 p.m. Mountain Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. West Coast Time. And we do look forward to you joining us for VOCR. We will be continuing our look into the New World Order and the Illuminati. And we may have a surprise guest if we can coax him out of his little shell. We have a gentleman that is an expert on the New World Order. However, he's more of a recluse than anything else, and he doesn't mind giving advice, but he most certainly doesn't like being singled out and brought forward into the fold with the knowledge that he has. So we're working on that, trying to find a way of getting him to the show. We will be doing that, if possible, but next Thursday night will be New World Order, Illuminati, and of course, the day's events of what's been happening in the political scene on the VOCR. Night Talk, of course, John Vasquez, he'll be in with Fort Benning incident, and that one's sure to raise a few eyebrows, if you know what I mean. And I'm quite sure we'll be monitored quite closely on that show, as we were the last time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute blast. I'm glad we're back on the air. We will be here weekly. Next week, we are back Saturday night. And then after that, we're going to make a time shift, and we'll explain that to you next Saturday of why and what kind of times we are shifting and why we are doing it. In the meantime, in between time, it's been an absolute blast.
Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition. Has been a TerraChat Network production. www.terrachatnet.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, we do have to start getting out of here. It has been a blast. And we will catch you back here next week. In the meantime, in between time, that's it, that's all. Another edition of Night Talk Radio. Catch you back here next week. Good night now.